I'm joined today by Leslie Vernick to talk about her upcoming book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. Leslie, certain things likely come to mind when we hear the term emotionally destructive, but just to be clear, how would you define an emotionally destructive marriage?
Well, you know, whenever I do a radio or TV program, the broadcaster always says something like this. He says, you know, we're all sinners, and we all mess up sometimes, and, you know, there's times I've said a few things to my wife that I shouldn't have said. So, Leslie, when do we really cross the line? When does it become emotionally destructive? And so I think it's an excellent question. The problem is it's difficult to define succinctly. And so what I usually say is an emotionally destructive marriage is not diagnosed by a clinician by looking at just one single episode of sinful behavior, because all of us are capable of that. You know, James tells us that we all stumble in many ways. And so, you know, when we mess up and we do something destructive to our spouse, we lie or we act indifferently or we are saying something cruel or harsh or we, you know, do something horrible, hopefully we would take responsibility for that. We would confess it. We would make amends. We would work to repair the relationship. And so I wouldn't describe that marriage as a destructive marriage. And so what I'm really looking at is a series of repetitive actions and attitudes that happen over and over again that result in tearing someone down or inhibiting her growth. And these repetitive actions are also accompanied by a lack of awareness. The other person doesn't see what they're doing. They don't take responsibility for it. They don't stop it. And so it happens again and again and again. And so what really becomes destructive is not just the action itself, but the unwillingness to change the action. It's not just the sin itself. It's the blindness to the sin. And that becomes the most destructive thing. In addition, in the book, I talk about five different kinds of destructive behaviors or attitudes that cause marriages to fail precisely because they are abusive and destructive, and they hurt people. And in the marriages that I work with, in the destructive marriages that I work with, usually they contain combinations of all five of these patterns in varying intensities and degrees. And so sometimes people will identify with just one type, but often they contain all five. And I'll just list them quickly. One is a reactive abuse, and that can be physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, economic abuse. But whenever there's any kind of abuse, and sometimes it can be mutual from husband to wife and wife to husband, but it's done reactively. You know, you made me mad, and something happened and ticked me off, and I just went off the deep end, and I didn't handle it well. And so that can be destructive to a marriage. A second kind of abuse in a marriage is also very destructive, and I call it controlling abuse. It's a little bit more subtle. It can involve physical abuse and sexual abuse and economic abuse, but it's also a means to control another person's choices. It's trying to reduce them to an object or a child, and that they don't have any say, they don't have any opportunity to disagree, that in order to respect me, you have to agree with me. In order to love me, you have to do everything I say. And it becomes very subtle because in the Christian community, there's this idea of headship and submission, and that can become very fuzzy in this controlling, abusive relationship. A third kind of destructive relationship in marriage is where there's chronic deceit. And it's not just always outward lie-telling, but it's inward, not being honest with how you feel, not being honest with who you are, what you want, and that becomes very destructive to a marriage. The fourth kind of destructive pattern is one of dependence, when one person is overly dependent on the other to meet all of their needs, or one person tries to sort of be God for the other person and tries to have them dependent on them to meet all of their needs, and both of those kind of patterns can be very destructive. And then the fifth kind of destructive relationship that I talk about quite a bit in the book that I think really gets very little play in the church is the whole area of indifference. When we get married, we promise that we will love and cherish someone and care about them every bit as much as we care about ourselves. And when a marriage is characterized by gross indifference, I don't really care how you feel, I don't really care what you want, I don't really care that you're hurt, I don't really care what matters to you, that can become very, very destructive.
Now, why do you think this book is especially needed within the Christian community?
You know, I've been counseling individuals and couples for over 30 years, and trust me, it's needed in the Christian community because there are abusive and destructive marriages in the church, and we need godly wisdom on how to handle them. We can find a lot of good books about how to build a happy marriage, but not very many books on how to wisely deal with a destructive one. And as a counselor and coach, I've grown increasingly troubled by the advice women receive when they seek help from their church leaders, and even some Christian counselors. I've been on different community groups. I've done speaking in lots of churches. I've spoken at the American Christian Counselors Convention, and I see some really bad advice sometimes going out to women who are in destructive marriages. And I think as Christians, we've sometimes misdiagnosed a destructive marriage as a marriage problem and not an abuse problem. We've told women and wives to try harder, submit more, forgive repeatedly, and reconcile even when there's been no remorse or repentance on the part of her spouse. We've misplaced the responsibility, and we've put an extraordinary heavy burden on a wife's shoulders to somehow maintain a loving and warm relationship with a husband who treats her with cruelty, disrespect, deceit, and gross indifference. And it's not possible, and it's even not biblical. And so what I want to do is help the church have a new paradigm and plan to help a woman who's in a destructive marriage. I want them to know that God hates what's happening in the marriage, and he offers specific help and healing for the woman, her husband, and the marriage if they're both willing to do the work. I think we need to understand better God's heart for marriage and what it means for a woman to be her husband's helpmate, because oftentimes it's much different than just staying submissive, continuing to be silent, and sacrificing herself to allow her husband to continue to sin against her. I also want to give her a roadmap to follow to not only bring healing and restoration to her own heart so that she's not caught up in anger, fear, and bitterness, but also to give her a roadmap on how reconciliation is possible and what specific things she can do to wake her husband up. And these would be really important for the church to have tools to be able to handle that too. So when they're dealing with families in destructive marriages, they know what to do. That's biblical, wise, and helpful.
Could you summarize for me one or two of the unique and practical insights women will gain in reading your book?
Well, I think one of the most helpful insights that women will get when reading this book is a chapter that I wrote, Why Trying Harder is Destructive, and it will actually cause your marriage to get worse. I think for so many women who are in destructive marriages, they keep trying harder. They read certain books that say, you know, if you do certain things, your husband will respond. If you love him more, if you respect him more, if you do this, you do that, you know, eventually he'll come around. But in these kind of marriages, that actually can do more harm to the marriage, because what it does is it feeds a selfish monster in the husband, because he's really not looking for a real wife who has hurts of her own, needs of her own, who will give him feedback when he hurts her. He's looking for this fantasy wife. And as long as she colludes that she can possibly be a fantasy wife and do everything he wants all of the time the right way, then he's going to continue to demand that, and the problem actually gets worse. And so I really give her some solid biblical evidence that trying harder in this way will hurt her, will hurt her husband, and will hurt her marriage. And the other thing that I think is really unique to this book is I will give a woman a very specific plan for developing a confrontation, as well as specific four steps in what healing the marriage looks like. For example, safety, sanity, stability, and security. She can't move on to stability in her marriage if there isn't safety. And so I talk about each step specifically and what that looks like so that she will know how the marriage is progressing or not.
Now, Leslie, if you could speak directly to a hurting wife right now, what would you most want her to know?
You know, what I want her most to know is this, is that God knows how she feels. You know, God has been mocked. He's been abused. He's been ignored, lied to, and rejected. You know, he's longed for a relationship with Israel. We read in the Old Testament, and they were unwilling. They often ignored him and sometimes abused him. And God knows how she feels. God hates what's happening in her marriage. I think so often we see women who have been in destructive marriages, and they feel like, you know, God loves their husband more than he loves them, because somehow he's entitled them to be abusive, and they have to just take it. But God hates what's happening to a woman in an abusive marriage, and he values her safety and her sanity every bit as much as he values the sanctity of marriage. He's for her, he's not against her, and he sees what's going on, and he's actually given her very practical help in his word to handle difficult, destructive marriages in a way that has the best opportunity to bring her husband to true healing, repentance, and restoration of the relationship. I want her to know that he doesn't care more about her husband or men and marriage than he does about her and her pain and suffering. And I want her to know that God not only wants to give her answers, but to provide for her the courage and strength so that she can learn to courageously love her husband in a way that will best help him wake up to his sinful ways and repent.
an important book by Leslie Vernick. She's been my guest today, and her upcoming title is The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. Thanks so much, Leslie.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to share these thoughts with you, and thank you for having me.